My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only. With that, ready to send it over to Studio 2A. So pleased to be joined this week by my guests who are going to be performing at Night of the Living Fest this Saturday. Without further ado, The Freezing Hands.
Hey, this is Comeback Kid Hits the Skids.
One, two, three.
Did you lose a lover? Did you lose a friend? Get away, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Pomegranates next. A tune called Pomegranate.
Oof.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Two. One, two, three. One, two, three. Pomegranate in glistening sky.
Baby watermelon clown.
Caught a fat one now.
is Locals Only. My name's Matt, and I'm live in Studio 2A with the Freezing Hands. Guys, thanks so much for coming down tonight.
Our gusto.
Our pleasure.
So we'll start off with introductions. Let's just go around the room. Let us know who you are and what you're playing tonight.
I'm Matt, and I'm playing drums.
Jeremy, I'm on bass.
Scott, I'm on keys.
And Travis, I'm on the guitar and vocals.
All right. So you guys are playing at Night of the Living Fest on Saturday. Very much looking forward to that. A lot of great bands on that bill. But this is the first time that I've had the chance to have you down. So we've had people can find out a lot about Night of the Living Fest on their own. I want to be able to talk about you guys. Travis, this is straight up glorious power pop music. And
some of it, yeah.
Some of it, yeah. But tell me, what's the kind of the musical journey that took you to this point and this project? Because, you know, you've been in great bands in Tucson for a long time.
Well, I drove over to Matt's house, and I had a bunch of songs about 5 years ago. And we started laying them down. And then I worked with Jeremy over at Bookman's and thought he was a pretty awesome guy.
Oh, shucks.
Uh-huh. And asked him to come play bass with us. And it turns out he's a hell of a harmony singer as well. And then also knew Scott, too, from Booktown. And,
that's right.
And then he came and joined us on the keys and can do just about everything as well. So
For a dollar.
Only for a dollar in book trade.
Yeah. Is that A credit or B credit?
It's B trade. Old school. Good one, man.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, I had a bunch of songs and we started putting them together. And when we all worked together as a unit, things came to us quicker and sounded better like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the earliest that some of these songs date to?
Oh, like 5 years?
Yeah, what was that rainy winter that we recorded the most in, like, 2012, I think?
Yeah, we had a growth spurt where it happened to be awfully cold. And, you know, we're all out in front of the old Coma Cave over in Midtown studio. And, yeah, I don't know about band names. That just it popped into the heads of our heads.
So when you and Matt started working on this, did you have a defined sense of kind of what you wanted the sound of this band to be, or is that something that evolved as everybody else joined in?
Well, I mean, we were just doing it for fun to begin, you know.
And then we started getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, then the money started rolling. Well, we've got to do it now.
Man,
what do I do with Spotify all this money?
Cash? Yeah. We started filling our drum kit with cash and decided we'd let it take off that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I liked that we could do whatever we wanted to do, and we still kind of do that, and that's great, and without having to worry about what it was going to be.
Yeah. And despite, you know, those kind of informal origins, the project has taken off in a way that I imagine might have even been a surprise to you, given the way that it started and just the nature of just messing around with Matt in the studio. And obviously, you know, the guys at Burger heard the music and decided that they wanted to put it out as well. So what has been the your reaction to the way that other people have reacted to this project?
Positive, I think.
That's good.
I think when we were putting together things, we'd finished an album, air quotes, and then Matt sent it off to Sean at Burger, and he liked it. He liked Pretty Ann a lot. So he said, here, we'll put out a tape, and that was great. And they put out 300 tapes, and that was good. And then we had a bunch of extra tracks, so we added one or two of those and fooled around with it and put out the vinyl ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then Burger and Recess sort of distributed that or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's weird working in none of those systems really work the same that they used to, I think. And right. I think that's a great thing. I know that sounds really vague, but we had some music and somebody put it out and that was great. It's not like, you know, well, and then we hit the road because we weren't going to do that with this group.
Sure. And
in fact, we've probably only played 6 shows grand total in 5 years, so yeah. Something along those lines.
Right. I understand that you are starting to look towards what's coming next. Do you have another album or a batch of songs that will become an album at this point?
Sure. So we have about 30 tunes, and we narrowed it down to 12, and then it was not as pretty as we thought it would be, and we bumped it up and added a few more tracks, and there it is. It's all in a nice package that nobody's put out yet. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Cool.
It's a second album of sorts.
And so. What do you mean by that? What do second albums mean to you?
I don't know. What does it mean? Like, really? Yeah. Like, we put a bunch of... It's 35 minutes long or so-ish. Uh-huh. So that'd be great if someone, you know, put it out on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we finish mixing it over at Jim Waters' studio, then we'll ask a couple people if they want to be generous enough to put it out.
Yeah. Are we hearing some of those songs tonight?
Yeah, you'll hear. About... half the set's old and half the set's new.
Perfect.
Something borrowed and something blue.
Beautiful. Well, why don't we get back into it? So you're listening to The Freezing Hands here live in Studio 2A, playing at Night of the Living Fest on Saturday.
All right. The next song is called Old Gray Mare, and it's an old one about a gray mare.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a mellow one called Anchor. Ready?
Yeah.
On our anniversary. I was born in July. Bought it on early line. Never knowing I'd want my worried weekends down. Just waiting for the sound of brushing teeth to lull me into sleep aglow with insecurity not shown. To be held so sweetly inside. Being so pacified. Tends to make one deny the holy truth. Bitter fruit. I'm the sun never shines. Closer and fine. I'm just how warm and empty heart can be. A million second chances offered me. I got a lot of stupid things, so unimportant that I cling to, but they'd never be the same if you weren't born in the great plain. Thank you.
Born in July.
Born in July.
Born in July.
Locals only. My name's Matt Milner. I'm live in Studio 2A with the Freezing Hands. Thanks again for coming down tonight, guys.
Sure.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. So, as we mentioned, you're playing Saturday over at Night of the Living Fest. You know when in the day or evening you're playing?
I don't know. I know
that
there's
a great question.
Yeah, there's three stages. So there's a lot going on, of course, of Montreal and Deerhoof and our buddies Lenguas Largas, the greatest band in Tucson. And, yeah, I'm not really sure what the lineup is. You're sure to, if you throw a dart, you're sure to hit a great target there.
There you go. So one of the things that is so great about this project, I think, are the harmonies. The great, great harmonies that come through even, you know, in a small, loud room. What's your approach to writing harmonies? Is it something where one of you kind of takes the lead on writing harmonies, or does everybody kind of put together their own part?
Yeah, we just wing it. Like, normally the way we record...
Oh, don't be humble. It's all Matt Rendon. Travis, Matt Rendon is the harmony writer.
Matt Harmony Rendon.
Travis will come up with the main melody, and then we just sort of get to work on doing the backups, you know?
Yeah.
We just go round and round and round and round until we get something that works.
Yeah. Well... Matt, a lot of the projects that you are either involved in musically or, you know, bands that come through Midtown, Midtown Island, they benefit from your ear for harmony. And I'm curious, you know, what do you look for when you're putting together a harmony part? Are there things that you are looking for as kind of your golden rule of harmonies?
Yeah, well, you try to get a harmony that's creating an overtone, you know, almost mm-hmm. like, you know, if Travis and I are singing something together, there's almost a third note that's not really there, but you can sort of hear it, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're chasing.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
And not to make out, but we really enjoy singing harmonies all together, I think. And
absolutely.
I wouldn't want to sing harmonies with anybody else, really.
Yeah. And Scott and Jeremy, you know, when you first came into the project after Travis and Matt had started working on these songs, how did you kind of carve out your musical role in the band?
Well, for myself,
butterfly knife. Remember,
I brought my butterfly knife and I dazzled them with a few of my moves.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think they were too afraid to say anything about any of the bass lines
yeah.
I played or anything I tried to sing. But
yeah.
Actually, I was myself. Not growing up here in Tucson, I was just thankful to find a couple of guys with great pop sensibility, because
yeah.
that's what I've always loved. And mm-hmm. after trying to get some stuff going here, I always ended up recording in my bedroom by myself. And when I found these guys, I felt like I found home in a way. I couldn't be happier with
yeah.
these gentlemen.
And Jeremy has his own tape on Burger too, called Harsh Mistress, which is mm-hmm. talk about pop sensibilities. That's a pretty, it's pretty
the
brilliant.
Sensibility-est.
Sensibility-est.
Yeah. And I'd say playing keys is a tailor-made role for me. I've always enjoyed playing in the background mm-hmm. and adding whatever I can to an existing project, and I couldn't be happier. I found competent musicians, and
yeah.
I was, you know, most nights of the week. And
some of them were even in this band.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I cherish. Pushing like vocals, it's something I'm not used to, and you know, just to see what you're made of and what you can add to something and,
sure.
and make brand new, it's heaven.
So, Travis, the batch of songs that is making up the second album that's going to be coming out, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a batch of songs that would have been written once this band was fully constituted as the four-piece that we
yeah.
have here in front of us. Did that impact the songwriting process for you at all?
No. No, I you know, I write a lot of songs,
uh-huh.
and some of them are total crap,
mm-hmm.
and some of them end up getting recorded. But I have a little handheld recorder that I go around with, and it doesn't matter if I'm driving to work, texting at the same time, or if I'm in the bathroom and the kids are pounding on the door. You know,
right.
I write a lot of them, and they just, you know, they are what they are. And it's great because you can bring up to these guys and they're like, okay, that sounds good, whatever. And then they go, oh, no, that sounds like crap, so let's not do that.
And a lot of the demos are just like his mini tape recorder. It's like, ah, ba da ba ba ba, ba ba da ba ba.
What do you think?
This song has the word word in it. No. Yeah. So.
At what stage do you know that a song's a keeper? Is it only after you brought it to everybody and you've kind of worked it out, or are there times when you are sitting there in the bathroom, you hum it and you realize this is the one?
Oh, every once in a while that happens.
Yeah.
I think when we were done with this record at the beginning of the summer, when the record air quotes was done,
mm-hmm.
I listened to it and then decided to go back and write a whole slew of hits. You know, they just kept coming. More hits. It needed more hits
yeah.
in order for it to be sellable to the people that buy things right. that aren't ours. Anyway.
Did you record at Midtown Island?
Yeah.
Is Matt, I mean, you've got a lot of experience recording your own stuff, but now, you know, lately a lot of what you're recording is other bands, not even bands that you're necessarily friends with before coming in. People are just coming to you because they want to, you know, kind of capture what you bring. But what are the challenges of recording a band that you're playing in?
Well, the main challenge is that I'm always behind the drum kit, so I can't be at the board.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff, you know? So I have to guess
with
the drums. But it's pretty easy. We just set up the amps, like, pointing out and around some baffles, and there's a lot of bleed in the room, and it all just ends up sounding really lively, you know?
Yeah. It's really the most comfortable place that I've ever recorded. It's great. There's a great vibe, to quote Bob Bookman.
we tried it. Well, the older studio, Coma Cave, had a swimming pool. And yeah. That vibe was hard to beat. That was at my folks' house. But when we moved it over to the new place, you know, we got dogs running around. And
now we just cover each other with Gatorade buckets. And it does the same thing.
Mudslide.
Mudslide. Yeah.
All right. So we've got time for one nice long set here to play us out. But we've got another 20 minutes of great music by the Freezing Hands. Real quick, not only the show at Night of the Living Fest on Saturday, but if people want to buy the music, listen to the music, find out about shows, what's the best way to do that?
We have a Facebook page and a SoundCloud and Bandcamp. So you can get it all digitally there. You can get the first album at the Apple Store or the iTunes Store and Amazon. And if you want the vinyl, you can still get a handful of copies, I think, at Wooden Tooth and our old buddies, Old Paint Records down at La Cocina and Booktown as well. That's Bookman's.
Oh, perfect.
I hate that we've mentioned Bookman so many times.
Let's stop.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well. All right. Well, thanks again to the Freezing Hands. Thanks for listening, everybody. And they'll be with you for another 20 minutes here on Locals Only.
Excellent. This is a song called See's Candy Girl. And it's about See's Candy. The place. Here comes the holidays.
One, two, three, four. See's Candy Girl, who would have thought a frock so lovely? Who would betray a girl so ugly to the years? Sweet misery, you're only dealing in the finest. Tell each other to the nicest LCD.
Just to make it like it's something to be free.
Good Morning Takeout.
With your lip gloss and your warm ones to sink your chum, for a fisherman's strand, drop an anchor on the non-so-dangerous minds of a liberator.
Allergy, allergy. locks on all the broken windows. Are your valuables worth more than 1 year's pay? Do the workers of the world deserve your pennies? For the pageantry your progeny display. Well, I'm your last moon from too big a satellite. And I'm the blood of millions dripping from your hand. Kind of studio trickery you just don't get in a live show. Fade out. It looks like we've got less than four left. Why don't we do numbers for sale and finish it out?
Okay.
Cool. All right. This one's for every friend, but particularly Cody Marsh and Mark Beef. Oh.
And it was good, because there you go, friends. That's for you.